Commissioner, thank you for making time available to come and speak with us, and thank you also for your submission, which is very helpful in actually identifying many of these acts. We've got another one this morning, the Water Resources Act, which is not on your list.
Actually. Oh, okay. I've missed one.
But it's a very comprehensive and helpful list. And now, would you like to just speak to your submission?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the chance to speak to this inquiry. And I want to begin by stating the obvious, which is, as South Australia's Commissioner for Equal Opportunity, I support legislation and the legal recognition of the full rights and responsibilities for people in same-sex relationships. And for me, this recognition of same-sex couples is simply a matter of ensuring that the laws of this country don't unjustly discriminate against members of this community. And when it comes to the relationships that today's couples enter into, there's no logical reason why there shouldn't be genuine legal equality between same and opposite sex de facto couples. And really, this is not a particularly radical idea because, in reality, South Australia and the Commonwealth are the only governments that haven't adopted this reform. It's my firm belief that the balance of community opinion is now in favour of equal rights and recognition for people living as same-sex couples. I say this because there's not been a significant majority groundswell in the community against the legal recognition of same-sex couples. But having said that, we do know that there are a few in the community who remain steadfastly opposed to any according respect to people who are not heterosexual. And those few who are opposed to what is now widespread social acceptance of homosexuality will try and confuse this basic equity issue by raising concerns about the sanctity of marriage, religious precepts and declining moral values. In my view, this is just a smokescreen for the issues around equality. Human rights are by their nature universal, and prejudice is not sufficient argument to justify taking civil liberties away from somebody else while keeping them for yourself. In South Australia, volunteers in the local gay community, gay and lesbian community, have been lobbying for legal recognition of same-sex couples through the Let's Get Equal campaign. Back in 1999, this commission supported the Let's Get Equal campaign to conduct a legislative audit. We found at that time that over 50 different South Australian acts discriminated against same-sex couples, and since that time we've found a lot more, and as you've said, you've got the details of that, so I won't go through those. And since that time we've been arguing the case for law reform, and I've put those arguments forcefully as I can in the public arena on a number of occasions, yet I have to say without success, because 7 years later these fair and sensible amendments have yet to be implemented. And I think this is particularly sad for South Australia, because there was a time when we could proudly boast that we were one of the world's great pioneers when it came to law reform, vote for women, consumer protection laws, Torrens land title system, decriminalisation of homosexuality, Aboriginal land rights. We in South Australia stood at the forefront of all of these advances. However, we now find ourselves lagging behind the rest of the country with outdated laws, including for both recognition of same-sex couples and for discrimination laws generally. And it's a problem that, I think it's a big problem, that same-sex partners, people can be in a same-sex partnership for 40 years, but they're still strangers in the eyes of the law. I'm just going to talk now about a few practical examples of the types of complaints that we've received at the Commission to give you a very quick overview of what people are telling us. Of course, the South Australian Equal Opportunity Act does recognise sexuality as a ground of discrimination, and in fact we were the first in the country to have that ground. Again, another example of where we were at the forefront but now are not. But the ground of marital status doesn't include same-sex partners. So about 5% of our complaints are about discrimination on the basis of sexuality. We're not able to take up complaints of discrimination, particularly against same-sex couples, although we often can find a way to include them in sexuality grounds. But it is a problem that marital status doesn't include same-sex partners. Just to give you a few examples, we had the case of a woman who was prevented from seeing her partner after she was in a serious car accident because the hospital said that she wasn't family. We also heard stories about a funeral director who'd been asked by the parents to make sure that their son's male partner was prevented from attending his funeral because some in the family did not agree with it.
Not those good. Inter-family relationships are difficult, but they no doubt reflect to some extent cultural attitudes in the wider community.
They do.
And one of the interesting things is the relationship between perhaps changing the law and how that will impact on the wider cultural community attitudes.
Well, I think changing the laws do have an impact on that, because they make the laws do set norms, I think, for our community. And whilst it doesn't stop people thinking what they think about, say, same-sex relationships or homosexuality in general, it can restrain them to some extent. It not for everybody, naturally, but I think it can have an effect for some people, or at least I hope it does. We've also dealt with complaints of workers being given the sack because they've had a same-sex partner arrived to pick them up after work. We still have, as you've rightly pointed out, those prejudices in the community where employers can give free rein to those prejudices. We've also received complaints about difficulties people in same-sex relationships face organising their superannuation, and I'll talk about that when we come to my suggestions around Commonwealth reform. And, of course, gay people have been refused access to their partner's superannuation on their death, even if they were named as the beneficiary. And in another case, two men made a complaint when they felt their small family company was being targeted by competitors who were using the fact that this business was run by a gay couple to try and put them out of business. Again, another example. I'd like to talk very briefly about the need for federal reforms, because even with state reforms, even if South Australia did amend its legislation, as have other states, there's still a need for federal reform, because the Australian government, as you well know, and I presume the reason, being one of the reasons for this inquiry, that a number of areas like taxation, veterans affairs and healthcare are outside the control of state and territory governments. Therefore, it's necessary for federal law reform to complete the recognition of same-sex couples that's begun in states and territories. Presently, lesbian and gay families are not sufficiently protected by the Australian government, and as a result, they experience a number of discriminatory impacts. For example, in 2004, the Australian government sent information in the post-war households about how they could apply for Medicare safety net benefits for families with high medical bills. And this application form specifically excluded same-sex families. And we got a number of letters here at the Commission in South Australia about this concern that yet again, lesbian families were treated as second-class citizens. And I've mentioned superannuation before, and we've received complaints about that. And these are areas that could only be changed by the Commonwealth. And in some cases, the failure to recognise same-sex parents mean that some children are considered by the federal government to be raised by single-parent families when they are not being raised by single-parent families. In federal law, these relationships don't exist. And it's a fiction that I think is no longer sustainable, again, because I think there is more widespread social acceptance of same-sex families in the community. And I'd like to say a little bit about reconciling religious beliefs and marriage, because our experience in South Australia has been that every attempt to progress same-sex law reform meets with opposition by fundamentalist religious groups. And I'd like to say that this is fortunately only a handful of fundamentalist groups. There are many moderate religious groups who are friends and supporters of the gay community. But unfortunately, those groups seem to me to get a disproportionate airing, particularly in the media, way outside what their actual numbers in the community are. And as an example of moderate religious groups who do support reform, when South Australian Parliament Social Development Committee held an inquiry into same-sex law reform in 2004, it heard evidence from the Catholic Archbishop of Adelaide, who did not oppose same-sex couples being recognised in the same way as heterosexual couples. And in 2005, the South Australian Equal Opportunity Tribunal granted an exemption to Uniting Care Wesley, which is the welfare arm of the Uniting Church, allowing it to hire gay volunteers as peer educators in its very successful Befriend program. This is a program that supports people coming to terms with their sexuality. So the church is, by funding such a program, I think is a good indication of its acceptance of same-sex relationships and gay and lesbian people individually. So from this we know that it's incorrect and misleading to simply say that churches are opposed to same-sex law reform. Some are, certainly, but by no means all of them. And in 2005, the Australia Institute released its report Mapping Homophobia in Australia. It found that two-thirds of all Australians reject the view that homosexuality is immoral. And also, this research challenged the common misconception that people who hold strong religious convictions are necessarily homophobic. While it did find that 68% of Baptists thought homosexuality was immoral, only a minority of Catholics, 34%, and Anglicans, 35%, agreed. And I think this is really important research, because so often this debate is portrayed as an irreconcilable argument between gay lobbyists and church groups, when in reality there is just as much contesting of this issue within churches as there is in the general community. In fact, probably more so, I would say. In reality, most people support a moderate consensus position, that is, the recognition of same-sex couple as de factos by the government and the preservation of sacramental marriage as the province of the church. So, in conclusion, across Australia, no less than 13 inquiries have already been conducted into same-sex couple recognition by governments and parliaments. In 1997, a Senate inquiry first recommended the need for federal reform in important areas like social security, taxation, superannuation, health, family programs, and other services. I think it's time now for these important measures to be adopted. And I think it would be useful for the federal government to conduct an audit of all its legislation, as we've done in South Australia, to determine which pieces of legislation unfairly discriminate against same-sex couples. I'm sure that they know about many of them, but there would be others that an audit would uncover. And then, as a consequence, to amend those laws so that same-sex partners are not treated in a discriminatory way. Many gay people choose to live in couple relationships of mutual affection and support, just as for heterosexual couples, these relationships are vital and they can last a lifetime, and many do. And gay relationships now have much the same social consequences of straight relationships. Couples merge their property and financial affairs. They provide care and support for each other in times of disability or illness, and they may care for children together. Federal laws know nothing of such arrangements, and I think it's time federal laws stop pretending that such relationships don't exist. These relationships do not threaten the fabric of society. On the contrary, all stable, committed relationships contribute to the fabric of society. So I'd like to close by thanking the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission and you, President von Dusser, for conducting this inquiry into same-sex relationships. I hope that this important and timely work will encourage the federal government and also South Australian government to join the rest of the country and give people living in same-sex relationships the recognition that they deserve and that is now not available to them. Thank you.
Commissioner, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
We share your view about the audit of federal legislation, but at the moment it seems to have fallen to us to at least
to
start
it.
The exercise.
Yes. Yes.
And we are concerned about the difficulties of that, because whilst you can identify a host of very important pieces of legislation which are affecting people day in, day out, no doubt there are many others hidden away which occasionally affect somebody, but we're going to have difficulty finding. Dr. Joe Harrison has given us a very interesting presentation today about the hidden problems in the aged care industry, which are rather difficult to identify. And a lot of the problem that she was speaking about arise not so much because of a positively discriminatory provision in an act such as the Aged Care Act, but the fact that the act is absolutely silent about the topic, and therefore it leaves a large measure of discretion to aged care providers to provide the care in whatever way and subject to whatever conditions they think meet their own values and so on, which just prompted me to seek to explore with you, if I could, a moment or two, your discrimination on the basis of sexuality in South Australia. I mean, one of the examples that was mentioned, as I understood it this morning, by Dr. Harrison, was the actual nursing staff in a aged care institution making entries in the records about don't treat the lesbian or this and that and the other, which are very discriminatory in themselves, which then alert others in the institution to a homophobic view and to the fact that this particular person may have something which he or she hasn't publicly announced. It just seemed to me, listening to that, that possibly was discrimination on the ground of sexuality.
I could certainly take up a complaint.
Yes, because one of the things
I haven't ever had one on that, but I could.
One of the things that I suggested, Dr. Harrison, was that to deal with these areas of silence in the relevant legislation, you would need some sort of overarching act which provided for discrimination on the grounds, and I said sexuality. But I was just trying to explore with you whether, in fact, that would be an adequate sort of remedy. I know there's all the difficulties of enforcement, but whether the ground of sexuality would be sufficient to pick that up. And it seemed to me, also listening to you with your example about the gay partner coming to pick up the other partner from the work situation and getting discriminated against because of a perception of the relationship, that that would be discrimination on the grounds of sexuality too, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was. In fact, in that case, that person was advised that they could make a complaint. They chose not to, as often happens. In fact, we get far more people ringing us about such matters that try and find out if what their rights are, but they don't necessarily want to exercise them. And I guess in the case of the example that you've just given me, I can see there would be potential difficulties with that one in South Australia, given the party has to be the person making the complaint has to be an aggrieved party. And so if you had somebody in an aged care situation who perhaps was not able to, I mean, it would have to be brought to their attention, then articulated in such a way that a complaint could be formulated.
And they would have to be prepared to pursue it.
So I can see a lot of practical problems with that. That doesn't mean we would do it if we could, but it would be.
Well, I think that was Dr. Harrison's main point, that you're dealing with a whole lot of disadvantaged people who are in no position
to make,
pursue that
yes.
sort of right, and indeed they would feel so threatened if they did.
That's
then
right.
They're likely to starve.
That's right. That's where you need different kinds of powers to be able to deal with those circumstances, rather than relying on an individual complaint. It's part of the problem of the limitations of individual complaints.
And you mentioned your two gay men running a small business being targeted unfairly in a competition sense. Mm. Again, that would be discrimination on a sexuality ground, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Again, I don't know how you'd enforce it. But
no. the problem of evidence and so on. But yeah, we could take that up.
Yeah.
And we have taken up complaints of sexuality where couples have been refused entrance to, say, a bed and breakfast. We had a case where the owner of the bed and breakfast didn't want a gay couple.
Hmm. Do you have a view about the cohabitation requirement of 3 years, which is currently built into the proposed legislation in South Australia to establish the relevant relationship, living together cohabitation period of 3 years, or any cohabitation period?
Well, I think the important thing for the purposes of this inquiry, that the same time frames apply to same-sex couples. It's in the same circumstances. Are you talking about some of the? You're talking about just the putative.
The putative spouse legislation
putative
spouse at the moment
is five years.
Years.
Yes.
But as I understood, that the 2004 Amendment Act was intending to have a requirement of cohabitation for 3 years for same-sex relationships.
That's right, but I think it was pointed out that there would have to be some subsequential amendment.
I wasn't thinking so. Quite clearly, the two need to be brought into line. But it was just I wondered whether you had a view about putting a time limit on these things at all.
I think it would be a good idea for people to be able to declare their relationships, to just actually make a statement about it. But my understanding in talking to the government, people in the government about that, was that they weren't keen on that because of the effects that it'll have on heterosexual population. In fact, that they would then want you'd need the same regime. I think that it's a while since I've had those discussions.
That sounds entirely logical.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I would certainly, I think having a registry where people could opt in, if you like, is would give some value for some people.
Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for making time, particularly when I know you've just come back and you would have a great deal sitting on your desk. Thank you very much for
Thank you.
For coming.
Thank you.